Guys, what's up? Welcome to Vertical tonight. Maybe do a couple jumping jacks before you sit down just to stay warm. We're so glad you're here. Like, it is so good to see you. My name is Miles. I'm the executive director here, and I just get the privilege of serving you guys. And like has been mentioned before, man, tonight has been crazy. This afternoon has been wild. We had a flat on our trailer. Rehearsal was an hour and a half later than it was supposed to. There are just a lot of things going on, which makes sense to me because the topic of tonight is confession. And this is a topic, this is something that I truly believe the enemy does not want the people of God to be equipped in. This is a topic that he doesn't want us to crack open our Bibles and see what the Bible truly has to say about it. Because he knows that if he can keep us away from learning about the truth of confession, he can keep us isolated. And if he can keep us isolated from the people of God, then he can keep us away from the path to healing and to freedom and to a life full of joy. So it just makes sense that he would throw everything at us in that way. If the enemy can't discourage us, he's going to distract us, hence probably the cold weather, a top 25 matchup going on in the Farrell Center. There's a lot going on, right? Like, we could be discouraged, we could be distracted, and the enemy is going to try and do that on his way to kill us. So we just have to be aware of what's going on. And it just makes sense that he would do that on this type of topic. So we're going through a series called Stressful and Not Restful. And in this series, we're looking at different Christian things, disciplines, practices, activities that normally cause stress and anxiety to rise up in us. And that's typically a response toward things like confession or community or conflict. We don't normally like those things. Those things are not natural to us. But in this series, what we're going to do is we're going to open up God's word and we're going to see that these things are actually a gift and a blessing for the believer. And the hope through this series is that we would just reframe our mentality, reframe the lens in which we view these things, and that we would use them as the gift and the tool that God created them to be for us. So as I was thinking about this topic, as I thought about confession, I was just reminded of a story of when I was 12 years old getting ready for a Little League season. And I was amazing. Like, I was really good. I was not really good. I was really bad. That's why I was practicing. So I was 12 years old. I was in my front yard, and I had a bat and a ball, and I was just tossing up this ball to hit with my bat, and I was just practicing swinging. And I was just like, this is a great idea. My house is right here. I'm aiming toward my house. What could possibly go wrong? I'm not good, so I'm not going to hit it for sure. But luckily, one time I did connect, boom. And I mean, it went 200, 300, 700 feet. I mean, it was a bomb. Like, it was a shot. And I just watched this thing sail into the sky. And then a couple seconds later, I just heard a crash. Like, it just destroyed one of my windows. So I did what any responsible 12-year-old would do in that situation. I threw the bat, got rid of the evidence, and ran in my room and hid under my bed. Because I was like, dang, if my dad knows what I just did, like, he is going to ground me for life. Like, there's not enough money in my piggy bank to cover that window. He is going to kill me. And I just kind of like put a couple boxes in front of me. I kind of hid behind them, put a blanket over me, like just tried to be as still as I possibly could to hide from my dad. And I don't know if you guys can do this, but like, there were stairs up to my bedroom and I can tell the difference between my parents' steps. You know, like, you can just tell by the way they're walking up the stairs if that's mom or if it's dad. And guys, it was dad. So that's just not good. I'm thinking of all the things that could happen. Like, this is where I die. This is, I'm going to have a funeral later this week. Like, this is going to be bad because I got in trouble. I broke the window. And I hear my dad walk up the stairs. He finally gets to my bed. And he gets down on the floor and looks under the covers. And he just says, Miles, what are you doing? Like, why didn't you come to me? I just want to help. And the reason I tell you that story, the reason I start there tonight is because I chose to hide from the one person who could help me. And that was my response to sin. It was my response to confession, is to hide from it. To run, to conceal it. And I don't think it's bold. I don't think it's crazy to say that that's probably a lot of our responses to confession and to sin. Is that when it happens, our response is to run and hide and conceal, act like it never happened, instead of running to confession, running to the Lord, running to community, people who can actually help us and heal us and guide us on the path of freedom. And that's why we're going to look at Psalm 32 tonight. Psalm 32 is a psalm that's written by David, the man after God's own heart, King David. And it's a really similar psalm to Psalm 51. If you know Psalm 51, it's famous. David wrote it after he committed adultery with this woman named Bathsheba, after he murdered her husband, and then married her. So like just really bad. He writes Psalm 51, and then maybe potentially after that, he writes Psalm 32. And we're going to look at just 3 points tonight out of Psalm 32. We're going to be looking at point one, the blessing of confessing. We'll look at point two, the curse of not confessing. And we'll look at point three, community in confessing. The blessing of confessing, the curse of not confessing, and community in confessing. That's where we're going tonight. Look at Psalm 32 with Psalm 32 with me, verses 1 and 2. Point number 1, the blessing of confessing. What we need to understand, what we need to realize first, is that confessing truly is a blessing. Just look at the scripture with me. Verses 1 and 2, David writes this: "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit." That's how David is going to start this psalm, Psalm 32, and he is just pointing out, stating the obvious for us all to know, that confession is a blessing. And as I was researching, as I was studying, as I was writing this talk, I just came up with two ways in which confession is a blessing for us. And I think those two ways in which confession is a blessing is that confession leads to healing. That's the first blessing, is that confession leads to healing. And the second blessing is that forgiveness leads to freedom. Forgiveness leads to freedom. So let's look at number one, confession leads to healing. That's just James 5:16. Which just says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. That our confession is actually the starting line of healing. That it's the first step in order to heal. In the same way, right? Like if you had an injury or needed to go to a hospital, the first step is to go see a doctor in order to find healing. So our confession leads healing. It's the first step in this process. Oh my gosh, that person was not happy. They need to go confess. Our confession is the first step to our healing. That is the first blessing, is that it leads to healing. Right, like as I said, many scholars believe that David actually wrote Psalm 32 after he wrote Psalm 51, after his big sin, after this huge mess up. And what they believe is they have started to hypothesize that Psalm 32 is evidence of a man who knows what it means to be forgiven. It's evidence of a man who knows what it feels like to be healed from sin and to be healed from the shame and guilt of his sin. Right? Did you notice in that first chunk that David uses three words to talk about sin? Here, let's look at them right quick. He uses transgression, he uses sin, and he uses iniquity. So transgression is crossing a line. It means defying authority. That's what transgression is. Sin is missing the mark. It's anything we say, do, or think that dishonors or displeases God. And iniquity is crookedness or distortion. So he uses three ways to talk about sin, but he also uses three ways to talk about healing. Look at him with me. So he uses forgiven, he uses covered, and then he uses this phrase, counts no wrong. So forgiven means lifting of a burden or debt. Covered means covered by a sacrificial blood covering. And counts no wrong is a bookkeeping that, man, that account is no longer counted against you. Right, like the reason I share that with you, the reason I pull that observation is because there is literally no sin. There is literally no act that is not forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Like nothing you've ever done or said is not too big for the cross. The cross is bigger than everything. Every sin you've ever committed or will commit, the cross covers it. There is healing for it. There is redemption of it. There is forgiveness for it. And that's what he's pointing out in this first few verses as he's giving us multiple examples of sin and of forgiveness. He's pointing to this fact that confession leads to healing, and he's pointing to this fact that forgiveness leads to freedom. Forgiveness leads to freedom. We see that the blessing of forgiveness is that it frees us up to live differently. We all know what it's like to be enslaved to sin. We all know this cycle that it goes, we sin, and then we feel shame and guilt, and then we try really hard to not do that ever again because we don't want to go back to the way that it felt when we committed that sin. And then after a while, when our willpower wears off, we go back to that sin and we're trapped in this cycle over and over. And we live in secrecy because we're afraid of what other people will think of us if we share with them what we're going through. But the only way to break that cycle, the only way to experience freedom, is by confessing and experiencing the forgiveness that is waiting for us when we confess. In the verse, he says, "Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity and in whose spirit there is no deceit." Like, I just want you to like either circle that, underline that. Just that's a really important phrase, that there is no deceit. That's how we know that we're free. That's how we know that there's freedom from that struggle or that sin, is that there's no deceit in us. And you might be like, hey, I'm not lying. Like, I haven't lied about it. And I'm like, sure, maybe you haven't lied, but you've withheld information, or you've told a half-truth or a white lie, or you've painted yourself in a different picture or light because you want to be perceived a certain way. So there's just perception management. And what I want to tell you is that any attempt to manage information is deceptive. Any attempt to manage information is deceptive. And we're not called to manage our reputation or manage our name. We're called to walk in the light. That's 1 John 1:9. And that's how we know we're experiencing freedom from the forgiveness of sin that we have, is by not living in this cycle of sin and condemnation, but experiencing the freedom and walking in a place of, hey, there's no deceit. I'm fully known, fully loved. There's nothing to prove, nothing to hide, nothing to lose. So I can live openly in the blessing that is confession, because I know the freedom and forgiveness I have from Jesus. And that's just so important. Like, we're not ever going to get to that point. We're not ever going to believe that confession is good for us. Like, we're always going to live in that, ooh, this is bad, that's hard, unless we believe that forgiveness is waiting for us on the other side of our confession. We have to believe that forgiveness is waiting for us on the other side of our confession. Far too often we believe that pain or hurt or punishment is waiting for us on the other side of our confession. And that could not be further from the truth. We serve a loving God and a loving Father who wants to lead us to life, not punish you for making a mistake or slipping up or choosing the wrong thing. He is heartbroken when we do that. He's not wanting to destroy you. He wants to put you back on the right path and show you the way to life. So we have to believe that forgiveness is waiting for us on the other side of our confession. If we don't believe that, we'll never believe that it's a good thing. We'll always fear the Lord and never bring it to him or bring it to our community. And the other thing I'll say with that is that confession doesn't earn us forgiveness. Right? See, that act of confession doesn't earn us forgiveness. It's actually that forgiveness is just waiting for us to be received after our confession. Is that, that is just God's response. He wants to give forgiveness. He wants to forgive you. That's his heart. It's his nature. It's his will for you to forgive you. So confession doesn't earn us forgiveness. We just serve a God and have a God and know a God who wants to give forgiveness freely. So point number one, the blessing of confessing. Point number two is the curse of not confessing. The curse of not confessing. I want to show you a picture real quick. A couple years ago, I got to go on a mission trip for an entire month to the Bahamas. Hey, I mean, not everyone, I mean, I was suffering for the gospel, guys. It was the Bahamas, I know, but there was a lot of work that we were doing, okay? So, but yes, we did get to go to the beaches as well. So not everyone, you know, gets to go to hard places. I mean, it's cool. But anyway, there was a month-long trip to the Bahamas, and we were doing all sorts of stuff. But one of the things we were doing was hanging out with a missionary there. And we were working in his backyard, and it was just a jungle. It was just, his backyard was a jungle. And he was walking us around and he was showing us different trees. And he stopped at one called poisonwood. And like pretty self-explanatory, that's a bad looking tree like that. You don't want to mess with poisonwood. But it's like Bahamian version of poison ivy on steroids. Like it's bad. So do we have a picture? Boom. That thing's gross. Like look at that thing. Like that's how I picture sin. Right? Like that is for sure sin. That's an evil tree. Like sin is just this black ooey gooey stuff that just like oozes out of us. And it's just like, that's nasty. Like we need to burn all those trees down, get rid of them. Anyway, this is poison wood and it is like poison ivy, but it's way worse. So I was one of the lucky people to get poison wood on me during this trip. And one, it itches like crazy and spreads like crazy, but it also burns. Like it genuinely feels like someone's just holding a lighter like underneath your skin all the time, constantly, just burning sensation. And when you itch it, it just gets infected. And if it gets infected, you have to go to the hospital. And if it gets too bad, you could die. Luckily, I didn't die. But like that's just like how I picture sin as well, guys. Like it's not just something to be played around with. It's not something to be tolerated. It is something that can kill us. It is a very serious thing that we need to take seriously and uproot from our lives and get rid of. And that is the problem if we don't confess. That is the curse of not confessing, is that sin will kill us. And it will ruin everything. And just like poison would, our sin left unattended, not confessed, ignored, is only going to lead to more hurt and more pain in our lives. Look at Psalm 32 with me in verses 3-4. David's going to jump back into that point. He's simply just going to say, "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." So what happens when we don't confess? What happens when we don't confess is that it eats away at us. Shame and guilt wreak havoc on our lives. David said, "My bones wasted away." It has an emotional impact on us. It has a spiritual impact on us. It has a mental impact on us. Emotionally, I'm exhausted. I'm drained. I don't want to do this anymore. I give up. Spiritually, I feel far from God. I feel far from others. I feel separated, isolated, like there's a secret part of me that people don't really know. It fractures relationship, and mentally, I feel like I'm my sin. I feel gross. I feel like a failure. I feel unlovable. And this is what sin does to us. It wastes away at us and just erodes us. If it's left in the dark and left unattended, And it's something that we don't seek to put away of, right? That's just the story of Adam and Eve. Think about your Bible, Genesis 3. What happens when they eat of the forbidden fruit? They're face to face with their sin. They're acknowledged with their mistake. They realize their nakedness and they feel shame and guilt. And what does that shame and guilt cause them to do? It leads them to cover up and hide. They run away from God and they seek to hide away from him. Because they're so shame. They're full of shame because of their choices. And now they're not living in the way that God intended them to live in right relationship with him, in perfect union with him. And if we're honest, that's what we do. Thousands of years later, our response is exactly the same when we reach for the forbidden fruit. We cover up, we run away, we hide. And left unattended, sin is going to wreak havoc on our lives, wasting away at the life that God is intending to give us. I think of Proverbs 28:13 just says, "For whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." We will obtain mercy. And my big takeaway from Proverbs 28:13 is simply this. The more we try and control our sin, the more it has control over us. The more we try and control our sin, the more it has control over us. The more we try and fix it, the more we try and manage it, the more we say, hey, this is the last time, like I won't do it again, I promise I don't need to tell anybody, like I can handle this. The more we start thinking like that and acting like that, the more sin really has a control over us. It's proof and evidence of how entangled we are in it and how deep the roots of sin go in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. That we are still enslaved and entrapped to this sin. That we are not the master of it, but it is actually the master of us. So point number two, the curse of not confessing. And point number three, community in confessing. David's going to write, "I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." Right, circle, underline, box that first part. I acknowledged. You see, God won't heal what you won't reveal. So we need to acknowledge this sin, not only to him and before him, a holy and perfect God, but we need to acknowledge the sin to others. Because it's the only way that we're going to have healing. Is that if there are other people who know exactly what we're going through, who can walk side by side with us, be in the rut with us, be in the battle with us, and hold us accountable to not go back to that same well. But to follow and pursue Christ at all costs. Right? Jesus asked the disciples in the Gospels, he says, hey, do you want to get well? Right, this same principle applies. Do you want to get well? Well, who did you tell? You see, we have to have community. Community is key in confession. If you want to get well, you have to tell other people. Other people need to be looped in. You can't do it on your own. So ask yourself just tonight, is there someone on this campus, is there someone in this world, is there someone in this state that knows me completely, fully, everything? If not, there's some work to do. Because you were made to be fully known and fully loved. Everything about you, every decision, every thought, every sin, every choice. And the reason this is, is because our confession is worship. Confession is an act of worship. I truly believe that. Right, like just this morning, I woke up to a couple texts from my community group guys. And one guy confessed to some sin. And then another guy confessed to more sin. And then I confessed sin. And vulnerability leads to more vulnerability. So as I watch my friends live out in faith, as I watch my community group members live out and walk out faith, I'm encouraged to do the same. As they trust God with their sin and bring it before me, I'm encouraged to do the same and to worship a God who has forgiven us of every single thing that was confessed this morning. So vulnerability leads to vulnerability, but we cannot wait and sit back for other people to be vulnerable. That's not how it works. If I wait for other people to share the deepest, darkest parts of their life, I will never be able to confess the things of my life. But I get to lead out in it. I get to be that person who leads in vulnerability so that others might walk in vulnerability. Our confession is an act of worship. That's what 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says. 2 Corinthians 12:9-10 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" You see that verse? That is why I love Abby's testimony so much. That's why I love that my friend can come up on this stage and share the message that she has been stewarded with, that she gets to steward, that God has entrusted with her with. That she gets to walk up on this stage and declare that she has found freedom in Christ from her sin. That she's not defined by the decisions of her past anymore. She has new life. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And did you catch that little part? It says, "For the sake of Christ." Hey, when we conceal sin, when we hide sin, when we keep sin in the dark and in secret, for whose sake is that for? Who gets the glory? The answer is us. It's for our name, our reputation, our renown that we do that. But when we live in the light, when we confess our sin, who gets the glory? Christ. Because we get to declare, "Look what he's done with me. Look what he saved me from. Look how he healed me. Look at the grace and mercy and forgiveness that I've been shown because of Jesus." So I get to walk boldly in my confession. I get to walk humbly with my sin and my brokenness so that Christ might be magnified, that he might be glorified through my sin, that the cross might be a little bit bigger. You remember that tree I showed you, poison wood? Well, as the missionary was walking us around and showing us this tree, he was telling us about another tree. It's another tree that can actually provide medicine to poison wood, that it can actually heal you and help you if you ever get poison wood. And it's a tree called Gumbo Limbo. I didn't make that up, I swear. It's a real tree. And all you have to do when you get poison wood is find this Gumbo Limbo tree. Take some of the bark off, boil it, and cover up your wound. And it will begin to heal your poison wound. Now you might be wondering or asking, like, where do you find Gumbo Limbo? Like, is there only one tree on the entire island in the Bahamas, and it's like on the top of the tallest mountain you have to climb and go on this like 3-day journey under a waterfall? And like, is it like super intense? And the crazy thing, the most wild thing about Gumbo Limbo is that wherever there's a poisonwood tree, a Gumbo Limbo tree's right next to it. You see, you don't have to go far to be healed. You don't have to go far to be forgiven tonight. It's the same way with our sin. It's the same thing with forgiveness. Christ is ready to forgive you. He already has. All we have to do is come to him, acknowledge the sin that we have before him, the separation that there is between a sinner and a holy God, and ask for the forgiveness that he freely gives us. And we'll be healed. You see, that's the beauty of it. You no longer have to cover up your sin, but by the blood of Jesus Christ, your sin can be covered. You don't have to do the work. All you have to do is receive a free gift of grace. Receive the forgiveness from our God that he lavishly pours out on sinners and the lost and broken and hurting people of this world. Because he so desperately wants us to be healed and forgiven and free. So vertical tonight, I pray that we would acknowledge our sin, our hurt, our brokenness to him, and that we would run to him and trust him to give us grace and healing. Let me pray that you would. Father, we're grateful that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Thank you for saving us and loving us and choosing us. Like, you could have stopped right there. You could have just saved us. You could have forgiven sin in a moment. You didn't have to even send your son. You don't stop there, though. You forgive sin and you adopt us. You make us a part of your family. You make us co-heirs with Christ. Because you didn't just want to forgive us and save us. You wanted to invite us into something else. You wanted to see restored and renewed and right relationship with us once again, just like it was in Genesis. Because you always intended for us to have life and life to the full. And that true satisfaction and joy is only found in a relationship with you. So Father, we just confess that we've gone to idols and false gods to fulfill that satisfaction and that longing in our lives. And Father, we are just confessing here tonight that we lay those at your feet. That none of those things will satisfy. No well here on earth will quench our thirst, but Father, you are living water. And if we come to you, run to you, we will never thirst again. So Father, thank you for lavishing grace and mercy and forgiveness on those who acknowledge their sin and brokenness and bring it before you. Father, we love you and we're grateful for you.